We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Zyn nicotine pouches deliver nicotine satisfaction anywhere, anytime, which means Zyn pairs well with you, your personality, your schedule, and your spontaneity. Zyn fits easily into your bag, pocket, and into your life because it's smoke-free, hands-free, and hassle-free. So the only person who will know you have a Zyn pouch in is you. Visit Zyn.com or head to your local convenience store today to find your Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Hey guys, Andrew Claudio here with the first of many programming notes here on a Monday morning. Behind the scenes, we recorded, the three of us, mostly John and Jeremy, obviously, the Cap or No Cap, the Mitchell Robinson return. I haven't come up with a catchy name yet. I may think of one by the time I put the episode into Megaphone and out for you guys to listen to in a couple hours. But we recorded that earlier today. John and I have been recording our Patreon pods and releasing them every Thursday. And last week decided to switch things up to make it a little less structured and a little more reactionary to the NBA playoffs. Our Patreon is dedicated to just NBA stuff at large rather than just Knicks stuff. And we saw that, like, we do a pod on a Thursday and, like, that night would be two big games, so there's no point in doing a pod on a Thursday. We figured to make the pods a little shorter, 30 to 35 minutes. They're more reactionary, and then they're up the next day for all our patrons. And we looked at the schedule, saw these two game sevens happening between the Bucks and Celtics and the Suns and Mavericks on Sunday, and we figured we'd record Sunday night as soon as both games are done. I did not expect for my hockey team to be playing this epic game seven that might get me kicked out of my apartment. I hope not. If you're my neighbor and you heard me tonight, I'm not that sorry, but I'm a little sorry. With the Rangers win, it got pushed back, and it also led to the first 2-3 minutes of the pod being what they are. And since I'm feeling a little generous, I figured we'd send out, we haven't done this in a minute, we're going to send out a bonus episode to all of you to hear. This is what our Patreon reactions are going to be like for the rest of the playoffs. So if you want more of these Patreon reactions in which John and I talk about the Mavericks and Suns, the collapse by the Suns and where this performance ranks for a 64-win team and them not even making the conference finals, John has a Luka take and it's a doozy, and the player he mentions that Luka reminds him of. And look, if Luka keeps winning, we may have to start acknowledging that. But John has a Luka take that I think you're all going to enjoy. Then we talk about the Bucks and the Celtics. And if this loss does anything to Giannis's legacy, the superstar leap that is definitive for Jason Tatum now. We talk about the two remaining series and where we rank the four teams. All that stuff on the episode you're about to hear. More of that to come as far as reactionary bonus playoff content over on the KFS Patreon. If you want to join for just $7 a month, you get all these extra pods, you get all these extra videos, you get access to our playback watch parties, which we're going to do more of during the playoffs. Head on over to the Knicks Film School Patreon with the link in the description. Later in this podcast feed, around 3 a.m., I'm going to drop all three parts of Jeremy diving deep into Mitchell Robinson and whether Knicks should bring him back and what the extension the re-signing should look like, the other centers that are available. It's very smart, very informative, as you've come to expect from Nick's Film School. So all three of those parts will drop at 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But in the meantime, here dropping at midnight, here is our reaction to the Rangers beating the Penguins, the Mavericks beating the Suns, and the Celtics beating the Bucks. Enjoy, and let's go Rangers.
Recording is in progress, John Macri. Oh, how the tone of this would have gone different had I be joining you after a brutal Rangers playoff loss.
We welcome the patrons in?
Welcome them in if you'd like.
This is a cold open. This is the open.
Yes.
Hey there, patrons. Yeah, how you doing?
How are you?
I know
where Ranger Claudio is. Unless you're from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Unless your favorite colors are black and yellow. Shout out Wiz Khalifa.
I love that song.
Yes, that is the only good thing to ever come out of Pittsburgh. Although the Pirates got no hit today and won. So there, that's their consolation prize, Pittsburgh. Even when you don't get a hit, you score. And unfortunately, you didn't score enough goals against the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. The Pittsburgh Penguins blew a 3-1 lead to the New York Rangers. The Pittsburgh Penguins blew a 2-1 and a 3-2 lead to the New York Rangers in the three games that they lost, John. The Penguins were up 2-0 in game 5 and lost. They were up 2-0 in game 6 and lost. They were up 3-2 with 5 minutes to go and lost. And the New York Rangers are headed back to the second round of the NHL playoffs.
There was a moment when Dallas was up by 87 points in the second half of tonight's game, where I was like, you know what? Maybe I should put on the Rangers game. And I didn't end up doing it, but I thought about it. And that shows you how excited I am about this hockey. Listen, these hockey festivities.
I am here to eat whatever crow you want. This is going to be a lot of congrats, John. You were right about those Suns. I'm here to go to join you on the Luka bandwagon, although you chill on the 9-10 all time, but this is a step he has to take in year 4. I am just letting you know I'm here. I'm down for whatever you want tonight. Literally, choice.
First and foremost, congratulations to you. A team that you root for won a game tonight. A team that you genuinely root for. Mm-hmm. A team that I have found myself rooting for over the course of these playoffs also won tonight. And that's the Dallas Mavericks. Although I've been rooting for two teams, and it's the Dallas Mavericks and the Milwaukee Bucks and the Bucks. So for whatever victory laps I might want to take, the Bucks were my number one before the postseason started. They were my number one before the second round, even after I knew about the Middleton injury. And I still said, I thought Giannis would have enough to get it done. He did not. He did not have a great game today. We'll get back to that game in a bit. We have to start with the result tonight. So for anybody who is like Andrew, a Ranger fan, and may not have been watching the events transpire on TNT. I'm trying to think of when the last time I've been this shocked by a result, maybe not a result, but just how a game unfolded. And like the weird part is like me sitting and watching it tonight, again, for inexplicable reasons, I have never fully gotten on the Phoenix bandwagon. It didn't make any sense. The numbers said I was wrong. Like Phoenix making it to the finals said I was wrong. Phoenix winning 64 games this year said I was wrong. All of the things said I was wrong, but there was something that was always a craw on my side. I was like, I just don't fully buy this team. Even with that, I was able to sit there and be like, holy shit, we've never seen anything quite like this. For anybody who didn't watch the game, I think the biggest lead was 46. But that doesn't really tell the full story because at one point it was, I think, 70-32.
Yeah, it got over 40. It got over 40 for a long time.
No, it got over 40. It got to 46, but like...
Oh, did it get to 50?
It was like... No, it didn't get over 50, but like Dallas had like doubled up the Suns for like deep into the third quarter. Luka, in case anybody didn't see the stat that made the rounds on Twitter... Luka has had as many points as the Suns at halftime. Had 27. Suns had 27 at halftime. To say it was a no-show job by the Suns is probably a little oversimplistic. I mean, I've never heard of this. Talk about things I've never heard before. A source on the Dallas Mavericks coaching staff, the sideline reporter didn't name a name because they didn't want to give their name, but someone was like said to the sideline reporter for TNT at halftime, yeah, anyone but Devin Booker. Like, that was the game plan. Like, Chris Paul, you want to beat us? DeAndre Ayton, you want to beat us? Mikal Bridges, you want to beat us? Cameron Payne, you want to beat us? Okay, we'll go home. We'll go home and we'll enjoy our summer vacation. They just weren't going to let Devin Booker beat them. Not in the way that he wanted to beat them, which is like one-on-one, long twos, the whole thing. They just made sure Booker wasn't going to beat them. And I guess we could do the Chris Paul thing now. I mean, look, nowhere close to like Harden levels, because like Harden has had just an abysmal postseason career. Chris Paul has had some really great postseason moments. Great, great postseason moments. And anybody who wants to say like he's like underwhelmed in the postseasons, I think you're latching on a little bit too much to like certain performances. That said, this was bad. This was bad. Like, he didn't show up for the last five games of the series. I don't know if he was injured. I don't know what the problem was, but he didn't show up tonight at all. And then there's this, I can't even get it out. Then there's the center of the Phoenix Suns who's going to be asking for a maximum contract.
Mm-hmm.
I already did ask for a maximum contract. And the Suns told him, no, go play out your fourth year. We'll talk next summer. And this is how he goes into the offseason. I mean, I don't know what you do if you're Phoenix as far as the Ayton situation is concerned, but like those guys didn't step up, and like the other Phoenix role play, like everybody had a bad game. Like Booker had a bad game. Everybody in Phoenix had a bad game. And on the Dallas side of it, like we'll get to Luke in a second, but the defense, I can't remember seeing a team play defense like that in a very long time. It was literally like they were watching six guys on the court defend the Suns, and then Dinwiddie, and we were texting about it playfully before, and I was like, this is what Spencer did what he does, and you correctly pointed out like, no, it's
no, it's not, John.
What I meant to say is like, I'm sure Spencer Dinwiddie is not, like, even Grant Williams, who we haven't talked about that game, Grant Williams had the game of his life earlier today. He's never going to have another game like this. Spencer Dinwiddie's had games like this. He's done things like this at the NBA level. Maybe not on this stage, because he's never been on the stage before. But like, you know, Dinwiddie is a guy who walks on the court and thinks he's the best player on the floor. So I'm obviously surprised that he went whatever he went from three. He had 30 points, but like, I'm not like shocked that Spencer Dinwiddie came up big.
Hey, okay. So a couple things. I'm going to take your word for it on the defense. This game was on my iPad the entire night. I had it in front of me, obviously, but the big screen got the Ranger game.
It was, I honestly really haven't seen it. I can't remember the last time I've seen a team play defense like they did.
Well, so if that's the case, then I don't want to give the Suns too much of a pass, because like, if you want to give credit to Dallas for how they performed tonight enforcing this, that's fine. I'm sorry.
But they got rattled.
This is a 64 win team. I put the stat up on Twitter tonight. This is the second time in NBA history that a team that won 78% of their games didn't make at least the conference finals. And the other example is the Mavs in 07, where it was clear this is just the worst possible matchup ever for them, the We Believe Warriors. This is a historic... The reason you can't think of a team going out like this that won this many games is because it's never happened like this.
Well, there's some commonalities a little bit. One, that Mavs team was never challenged all season. Mm-hmm. And then they were hit in the mouth and they cowered in the face of pressure. And I think Dirk kind of acknowledged that after that series went the way it did. I'm not going to say these Suns cowered in the face of pressure. Like, they came up big during their home games up until this, but tonight their role players, I mean, disappeared. Like, but the more interesting part, and why I think the comparison is interesting, is like, these Suns never had to worry about a blessed thing this year.
Nope.
They were never like they had the one seed wrapped up with, you know, whatever it was, 2 months left to go. And then you throw in some of the other stuff, like Chris Paul, he's the Tom Thibodeau of players. He gets the most out of the teams that he is on. And then eventually things balance out. And I feel bad bringing this up, but at the same time, it's like, yes, they made the finals last year against a Laker team that turns out not very good. And then, come on, like, that was not a good Lakers team.
The Laker team, as constructed last year, won the title in the bubble. And then AD got hurt in game four and exactly. The series.
Exactly. Yeah. So, again,
one this year turned out to not be pretty good because they got rid of the gel of that team and yes. replaced it with Russell Westbrook.
Well, this team was worse, but last year's team was like in between the champions this year's team, and they AD got hurt.
I will defend that last year's Laker team. Not to spend too much time on this, there was a portion of that series thought, oh, the Lakers are back. Okay.
Yeah, like, and then AD got hurt.
But like when they were up 2-1 and AD was healthy and LeBron is doing like these weird post-ups on Jay Crowder and Andre Drummond is mimicking it on the bench, they were laughing at the Suns.
That's true.
For the first three games. Right. Like,
yes,
that is the Suns team. Then they faced the Jamal Murray-less Nuggets. Then they faced the Kawhi-less Clippers.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, that's how I'm processing all of this. Did we look at the Suns in their run last year? Did I look at Devin Booker and him going toe for toe with Giannis through a lot of that finals last year? And did I overrate what they did? Because Benji tweeted, I think the one of the best lines of the night, like, this is a big loss for just the regular season. Because now, like, the Warriors like sleepwalked through the second half of their season and they look like the strongest team left. The Suns like ran ran away and put themselves in a historical context of a 64 win team, and it mattered nothing. They lost by 43 points at home or 33 points at home in a deciding game. Listen, the superstar convo that we had that we spent a whole week and a half talking about, I'm with you now on Booker and Paul, that you don't do that in a game seven. You don't perform that way in a game seven. Devin Booker going 3-for-14 in a deciding game at home. No, I'm sorry. A superstar doesn't do that. So until further notice, you are out of the superstar club.
I think Devin Booker is, and this was my gut feeling then, and this is my gut feeling now. Devin Booker is going to have a very wonderful career in which he spends it as occupying a place somewhere between the 10th and 20th best player in the league. That may be a superstar for a lot of people. It's not a superstar for me. So I don't feel bad about that. The Paul thing, I actually was wrong when I wavered about whether he was a superstar at one point. He was at one point, but he's not anymore. And I think that much has been settled. And then the other two takes were about Tatum and Doncic. I was wrong on Tatum.
Yeah, but the Doncic thing, and the thing about Luka that's interesting, which is why, as much like there was never a debate about Luka, obviously, but you would have liked, like, the Tatum thing, obviously, will come up in a second, that he had a game six that's more emblematic of, oh, this is a superstar.
Yes.
You know, like that's where the nail in that coffin officially went. With Doncic,
we'll get back to that series in a bit. Yeah.
Tonight wasn't like, oh, Luka was too much for them. Spencer Dinwiddie was too much for them. If you took it, like Jalen Brunson had 24 points like that. And the best part is about it, John, all three of them. Oh, you know what? I was looking at the score late in the game, hoping it would stay that the point differential of the game was more than what Luka scored, because I had a line ready for, like, if you just take Luka out, the Suns still lose. So you can't even say this was like too much Luka. This was a complete no. I'm actually there on the no-show job by the Suns. That type of performance at home, I mean, I almost have more respect if it was too much Luka, because then it's like, you know what? You tip your cap. We ran into an all-time great having an all-time great performance. No, Spencer Dinwiddie ran you off your home court. That's embarrassing.
The defense was what set the tone early on. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was funny. I know you were paying more attention to their injury game, but there was a point in this game in the first quarter where, and they actually, I think it was Reggie Miller, to his credit, even said it on the broadcast, Mavs were up by about 12. And Reggie was like, the Suns should feel something along the lines of the Suns should feel actually really good about where they're at right now, because they should be down 20 because the Mavs were getting everything and they just weren't hitting a lot of shots. And like they had open looks and like they just, you know, were breaking them, and Phoenix was just playing so poorly. And then Dinwiddie came in and he's like, fuck it, I'll hit some setback threes. And he did. And that was really what started to create the difference in the game. And then Luka went on to finish off, and credit to Luka, by the way, for setting the tone, scored the first 8 points in the game. I, as you know, I've been watching the sport for 3 decades. Luka's the closest thing to Michael Jordan I've ever seen. He's better than it, more than Kobe, more than Shaq, more than Duncan, more than Giannis, more than, I don't know who else you want to throw in there.
LeBron.
Oh yeah. LeBron. More than LeBron. Absolutely more than LeBron.
This is a nuts take, John.
It's not a LeBron
James. You have him ahead of LeBron James.
No, of course.
LeBron did in year 3, getting that Cavs team to the finals.
LeBron James is the second greatest player of all time in my eyes, without question. And I think I think he's closer to first than he is to third.
To third, yes.
But just in terms of, he has no weaknesses on the offensive side of the floor. On the offensive side of the floor. Defense is... I'll give him credit, though. After Jason Kidd called him out, he started playing defense in the series. So, you know, he certainly wasn't targeted to the point that he was early on. Offensively, he has no weaknesses. LeBron, even when he was doing the LeBron stuff early on, when he was scoring 27 straight points on the Pistons, when he took that shitty ass team to the finals against the Spurs. He was doing it because, like, physically he just overpowered everybody, and he occasionally would have these spurts where he would hit shots. But like the shooting piece for LeBron didn't really, really come around until the second half of his career. And really, if we want to be even more of a stickler, into like the last several years, he always just overpowered. And like, I will never forget watching the conference finals with him and the against the Orlando Magic, the one he hit the game winner right in game two to stave off them going down 0-2. And then the Magic won that series easily. And that's because it was like same play after same play after same play, LeBron high pick and roll, drive, drive, drive. And it was only so much he could do. Whereas Luka, when you factor in the shooting, the passing, and the fact that he is 6'8", 6'9", and can back down DeAndre Ayton on a post-up and get back, but like, you can't stop him. He is unstoppable. He's an unstoppable offensive force. He's better touch than anyone else in the league. He's as good of a shoot. I mean, I know his shooting percentages are not good, but like, man... I think he's the most unstoppable offensive force. And here's the thing. He knows it. He fucking knows it. And Michael Jordan knew it.
So a couple things. LeBron averaged 38-8-8 in that Orlando series. I'm not giving Orlando credit for shutting LeBron James down. I think he dragged Wally.
No, they didn't shut him down.
I know. So he dragged Wally Zerbiak, Larry Hughes, and Delonte West to the conference finals. Like,
and this Mavs team is a lot better than that Cavs team.
Yes. As you know, I'm kind of on this old school basketball kick right now.
Yes.
And I've stumbled down a Larry Bird rabbit hole. I think the comp is Bird.
That's a good Luka comp.
So, because like LeBron, I can't put one above the other. I don't want to. Like, I want to celebrate Luka, not put him right below Michael Jordan like we do with everybody.
I'm not saying he's better. I'm not saying he's better.
He said he's the closest thing since Michael Jordan. And the most dominant thing I've seen since Michael Jordan is like Shaq for 2 years, Steph for 2 years, and LeBron for 16.
LeBron to me is closer to Shaq because LeBron was dominant in a way that like physically you could not overpower him.
And I see what you're saying. Okay.
And if you put him on the right team, i.e. the Heat, like those Heat teams, if you want to argue to me that the LeBron Heat teams, like whichever one of the best of those two teams that they won the championship, are one of the 5 greatest teams of all time, and that LeBron on one of those teams was like the great, like him plus that team, it's like no one ever was going to beat that team. I would hear that argument. Luka, in a way that Jordan was just like, none of these guys can fucking touch me.
And
he backed it up.
And LeBron has that game five in Detroit where no one could touch him either.
No one could touch him.
The problem I have with can we just take the words Michael Jordan out of this? Luka is the best offensive force I've seen in a long time and has top 10 all time potential. I get it.
I don't do takes. I'm not here for takes. This is not tonight. I've been talking about this shit for 2 years.
I know. Tonight is not the night to be like, Luka willed the Mavericks to this.
No,
33.
I'm not.
Because that's why I'm like, okay, if he goes and beats the Warriors, let's have some conversations. Like, took out this Warriors team that has this gear nobody can get to. The Suns kind of folded. Like, let's not make this more than what it was. And look, I actually agree with you to an extent on Luka's ability. Like, Jake Rosen, friend of the pod, tweeted out, like, whatever he wants, whenever he wants. That's Luka Doncic's game.
Yeah.
I have seen iterations of this, not in like a 23-year-old, which is...
That's the thing. James got there eventually.
LeBron,
You're
right on the physical part of this, where it's like LeBron was a locomotive that the only chance you had was like make him pass to somebody else. That's all you have. Because I think there's better shooting games in LeBron's career than you're remembering. He just didn't...
No, there are.
He just didn't become a jump shooter until really the second tenure in Cleveland when he had to become a jump shooter because everybody was counting by three all of a sudden. I will just say how much Larry Bird I see in Luka's game. Because like the way he's able to make things easier for other people, the way he's able to, like you said, score on anybody from the perimeter is something Larry Bird did a lot. And it's why I think he's got like a long dominant tenure of the league in him. Just take the words Michael Jordan out of the take, and I'm probably right there with you.
It's fine.
Okay.
You know me, I root for greatness. I love watching greatness. And I think that's ultimately the reason why I was rooting for Dallas in this series. I'll root for them against the Warriors, although I don't know. This Warriors team is flawed. I don't really know what to say about them. That performance against Memphis, and I know they went on and won in game six, but that performance game five against Memphis was like unsettling, but at the same time, it wasn't shocking. Like, this Warriors team puts forth putrid efforts from time to time.
In wins.
But then they balance out the putrid efforts with like, you know, Steph and Clay are going to get going, and like, you can't beat them when those guys get going. I'm excited for the series. I'm very excited for the series.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
As for the East, Celtics are really good. Celtics are very good.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
And that's really my only take on the series, because I thought these were two evenly matched teams, especially when you take Middleton out. Giannis, this is not a knock on his legacy. If anybody thinks it is, then they're just wrong. Like, the guy had 40 and 20 in game six and lost because another all-time great saved his own personal season. But Giannis, I don't know what more he could have done. He was asked to do so much in this series and almost won it. But last game of the season, the Celtics and Nets, the Celtics and Bucks have, I think, identical records. Yeah, they have identical records, or the Bucks had a one game lead. The Bucks rest everybody against the Cavs. Yep. And it seemed like, all right, which team is going to duck the Nets in the first round? And the Celtics played everybody, won their game, got the two seed, and the Bucks fell to three, got to play this on fume Chicago team that was really out of gas, that was going to be able to be beaten. And the Celtics took on the challenge of the Nets, swept them, and got to play this game at home. I tweeted this out. I like seeing that rewarded.
That's good.
And
no,
as a result, good. That's where, if I'm going to knock the Bucks at all, it's for that you could have played this game at home if you beat a nothing Cavs team and took on the Nets in the first round. Maybe you would have been more battle tested.
I think I hope a lot is made of Middleton not playing in this series. Mm-hmm. I hope that doesn't get swept under the rug. I hope that doesn't get forgotten, because we talk about guys, what they did in the finals last year. We saw what Chris Middleton did in the finals. We saw how important he was for the Bucks' evolution as the best version of themselves. They obviously were not the same team without him. I said it on one of the post game ones from earlier this week. And by the way, again, bad job by me. After game five, I was like, most important game of the playoffs. We just saw it. Well, I guess not, but I did leave the door open a little bit, because I was like, it's funny. We said the same thing after game five with Brooklyn Milwaukee last year. And lo and behold, look what happened. Does that mean the Celtics are going to go off and win? We'll see. I underestimated the Celtics. They're a better team than I thought they were before the playoffs. They're a better team than I thought they were probably even before this round. They should be favored against Miami. I don't know. Jason Tatum, briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Superstar.
Yes.
Superstar. Capital S. Because he could be the best player in the championship team this year. It could happen. Would not shock me at all. And if you were building a team today, yes, Luka's, well, for me at least.
I know.
Luka's the first pick. But Tatum is right there, I think, with Giannis in the next tier of the conversation.
Wait, so it's Luka and then a whole other tier of guys for you? Or not one tier that Luka's in?
Luka's by himself in his own tier.
Okay. Yes. I think we know what your background should be.
What? Luka?
Luka, yes. It should be a Luka Doncic gigantic poster that just is in your background at all times. Maybe the picture of him in a Knicks shirt with his thumb up.
Wait until he starts getting in shape.
Yeah. If he ever starts getting in shape.
Yeah, he's got a little bit too much Shaq, I think, there. Shaq, talk about a guy who could have been the greatest player of all time if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. As for Giannis, look, it needs to be said, he did not have a good game today. There was a stretch, the stretch where the game got away from the Bucks in the third quarter, like they went to Giannis because nothing else was working. And that's the stretch where the greatest players of all time like carry their team through that stretch. And it is a game still in the fourth quarter and he couldn't do it. Am I putting any blame on him? Of course not. The guy had his averages for the series were 33, 14, and 7.
Yeah, that's why it's hold on. What was the stat? He's the first ever to have 200 points, 200 rebounds, 100 assists, whatever it is for that a series. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I have
first with 200, 150, like 200 points, 100 rebounds, 50 assists. That's what Giannis did in this series. I can't Like, yes, you're right. Like, there was that portion in the third. But you know what else was happening during that portion of the third, John? The Celtics weren't missing. He could have made all the two-pointers he wanted to. The Celtics were counting by a different number.
I know.
Like,
look, I'm just trying to, I'm just trying to keep it 100.
Giannis kept it 100 rebounds in this series. Like, I can't... His team allowed, like, as a team, they allowed the Boston Celtics to shoot 22 of 55 from three.
And they hit four of 33.
Like, that's the game. Not Giannis didn't carry them in the third, you know?
No, but look, we're not having a conversation about a guy who is like, and I'm talking about the context that I've spoken about him in.
Okay.
Not top 10 player, not top five player. This is a guy along with Luka, who I mentioned in the last week, as I think within 10 years, we're going to be looking at these two guys as two of the top 10 players of all time. And when you get to that level, this game seven is a game that goes down on his resume as in the slightly negative column. The series as a whole goes down in the positive column. I forget if I have said this stat already. If I did, I apologize. I don't think I have. Four players in history had a postseason run of at least 10 games in which they averaged 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. LeBron has two of those four in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the previous two, your boy, LeBron James, averaged 30, 11, and 8.5 assists in the 2014-15 run for Cleveland. And then Oscar Robertson, 1962-63, 31.8 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists at the age of 24. I went on an Oscar Robertson deep dive earlier this week. Let me tell you, Oscar Robertson, good basketball player.
That's you and the takes today. Jeez. So is last year Luka losing to the Clippers a knock on him?
No, because he did tire in the second half of that game.
Right. Well, like game six is more the thing. In game seven, he had 46, but he shot 11 of 24 and Giannis shot 10 of 26 tonight and had 25, 20 and 9. And then the other team was better. Like that's why it's tough for me to like put this as any kind of knock on Giannis. I think he did everything possible and it's up to us, the smarter basketball minds, to not be like, well, you lost and he won.
No. So he did not lose. Up. He right. did not lose. I guess I'm going a little bit by the fact that, like, as they said on the broadcast, he did have three point blank shots in a row that just missed, mm-hmm. you know, it's like they were right there for him. And, you know, and there were some others. It's like,
I just think if they went in, then Boston comes down and hits three wide open threes from Grant Williams that like they were giving Grant Williams these shots. And it's like, all right, he got scored 9-6 in that stretch. But Giannis made it, you know, so it wasn't 9-0 instead.
I think it's different rules for a guy like Giannis, just like it was different rules for a guy like Shaq. You know, Shaq, for him to have a truly great game, it needed to be those postseason runs where he averaged like 40 points in the finals or whatever, where he just literally like, you know, made 70% of his looks. So for Giannis, who lives pretty much predominantly on the inside, for him to finish the game going, I don't even know where he went. Did he go like 10 of 24 or something?
10 of 26 was his final. Like, 26. That's the thing. Luka had a similar stat line in the game six last year, which is why I brought that up as a comp.
Yeah. No, it's your takes as usual are much more measured than mine.
I'm not even trying to be measured here tonight because I came on here making fun of Pittsburgh in a series they dominated against the Rangers and puck luck was in my favor. I think here's my thought about Giannis. Like, if Middleton plays, they win in six. Middleton didn't play and made it a series. And the only reason that Giannis isn't playing the Heat right now, and it's why I think this should be more celebratory, is Jason Tatum showed us he's a superstar in game six. There was a moment in that game where I was like, oh, okay, here come the Bucks. They're going to take the lead. And
Tatum much better team though.
What do you mean?
The Celtics are a much better team though. It's easier. I don't think it's a hot take to say it is easier to put forward the sort of performance that Jason Tatum put forth when you know, as Jason Tatum, that it is not all on you, which is that much. Whereas to me, and this is the last thing I'll say on Luka, the inverse was true of Luka in this specific sense. His team knew, okay, we know that dude could put everything on his shoulders. We just need to do a little bit. If we do just enough, he'll get us there. And all that pressure was on his shoulders, where I think Tatum could at least like look around and see, like, I have a great team next to me. And that's part of his evolution as a player this year. He started passing the ball. Mm-hmm. That's what he never did, you know? And he was dishing it in the second half more more than I ever have seen him, and more confident. Like, he trusted his teammates.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it.
Tonight, or I guess today, is the better example of what you're talking about. Like, this is a guy that didn't need to score 46 in game seven to win. Just, oh, Grant Williams is hot. Oh, my whole team is going to make 22 of 55 from three. I guess where I'm elevating that game six performance is the, like, save our season performance that it seemed to have. Because I thought the Bucks had tilt the scales a bit in... even if the Celtics were a better team, the Milwaukee had all the momentum. They were home. They had the best player on the floor. And Tatum, those are performances we talk back during. I call them DVD moments, because like the championship DVD has those moments you highlight. Like, I look at that throughout most of baseball seasons. Like, oh, this, like, if the Mets had come back and won today, oh, this is a DVD moment. The seven running against the Phillies, that's a DVD moment. And I thought that was a DVD moment. And I think, look, we'll see what happens with this Heat series. I don't want to sleep on the Heat too much. These are two teams I hate, but have like admired all season for how well they've played with what I thought weren't top end talent, but still like top 10 end talent. And now I'm curious, like, are we going to get like a solid seven game series between two defensive minded teams, or does, you know, the two teams also like to shoot the three a lot too, or,
well, Miami,
does one team separate themselves?
I mean, I'll pick Celtics in the series for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm picking Dallas in the other series, huh? Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm picking Dallas.
You got to ride this trade. Yeah.
And then, Who would I take, Dallas or Boston?
You got to ride this train, John. It's got to be, you're getting with Dallas's first ring this year.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Yeah. And if Luka does, I'll sit here and be like, you know what? Maybe there is some Michael comp to this guy, Luka Doncic.
Let's end with this. It's playoffs aren't over yet. But in the... So...
I thought since... We'd end with re-ranking.
What?
I thought we'd end with re-ranking. We have 14.
Dallas, Boston.
Of course.
Dallas, Boston, Golden State, Miami.
As far, this is championship. Like, who we think will win the title. And it's like, it's them. If not them, then this team.
Yeah.
Golden State, Boston, Dallas, Miami.
You have Golden State as the favorite?
They have this gear. I can't get past it. I was talking to Yash about this today.
Why can't you quit them?
Listen, you got to ride that train. I got to ride this one. The Warriors can go to this level that no other team can. Not the Mavericks, not the Celtics. They could score 30 points in like 7 minutes. It's like, oh, the Warriors are back.
They also have the lowest floor.
They do. That's the other, the weirdest part about this team is like, I could easily see them losing by like 30, 40 points or 50.
Because we just did.
Right. And then they'll play an evenly matched game and then just look at each other like, hey, you guys want to win? It's like, okay, Clay hit 17 threes. Hey, Steph, by the way, greatest shooter of all time. We're going to do a screen and roll with you and Draymond, and you're just going to be open. Like, I, the Warriors have the highest ceiling, which is why I have to out of respect put them one. I think it would only shock me at this point if one team won the title and it's Miami, like of the four remaining teams.
It wouldn't shock me if any of these teams won the title. It would surprise me a lot.
That's a fair correction. Yes.
Yeah. It's slight, slight quibble. We'll end with this. So since Michael Jordan, there have been 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold on one sec. I see. This is exceptional podcasting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven, eight, nine, including, so Luke is one of these players who have played at least 10 playoff games in a single postseason and average at least 30 points.
Since Michael?
Since Michael. Michael did it. Michael did it 10 times.
Okay.
Which is by far the most in NBA history. Nobody's even close. One of the guys you'll get, I'm sure. But do you want to try to name the other nine? Luke is one of them. So you want to try to name the other eight.
LeBron.
Yes, LeBron. Shaq. Hold on. LeBron has done it.
2 minutes on a timer because I'm logged in as you right now.
Oh, Shaq has done it 3 times. LeBron has done it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times.
Kobe.
Yes. Kobe has done it. Kobe did it 4 times.
Kawhi
did it.
That's four.
Yeah. Kawhi did it. Why can't I find Kawhi on here? Kawhi did it.
Durant.
Twice. Durant did it. 3 times.
Russ?
No.
Okay. Anthony Davis. I'm thinking bubble. If any. Okay. Steph.
Someone did it again. Someone did it for the second time this postseason. We just talked about
Giannis.
It
Giannis. Yes. Holy shit. So there's two more. Tell me, because we had a minute left.
Well, no. So Luka's another one.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell.
That's funny.
Oh, actually, sorry. I think we miscounted. James Harden also did it.
James Harden. Oh, go figure.
Yeah. Right. Okay. But that's your list. Did you say Iverson?
No, I didn't.
Then I can't count because Iverson also did it. So those are all players that did it.
Yes. All right.
Anyway.
You can wrap us up. We're literally in the last minute before your account says we can't be on Zoom anymore.
Thank you, patrons, for tuning in to another episode of another bonus episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. We'll be back with you with more postseason shenanigans before you know it. Love you.
Let's go, Rangers!